Alright, this is Pure Decking, show number 449 for Thursday, September the 16th, 2001. This is the show about stuff that interests information security, rigging the game, and realizing just how much of just how much old computer crap I am storing in my house. tonight, I am drinking... Madman, what's up?
I've got a Shiner Bock, and I'm seeing a makerspace in your garage, whether you've decided to turn it into that or not.
It may not be a public makerspace. and we have Aryu.
Just waiting to see how far an outsider I can become.
So, but yeah.
The word dissident springs to mind.
Wait till somebody starts trying to denounce you for not... So I liked your idea, though, about, you know, carrying a zip drive with all your required government documents on the zip disk.
Because it's not my problem. They don't have the card to read it, man. I'm doing my part. Are you?
I like it. And I'm not just saying that because I have a box of zip disks and drives sitting out there in the closet. You know, keeping for old projects. We got talking about it before the show. I was getting ready to tell a story. Parallel port zip disk for, or zip drive for his 486. And when he got a new computer, it came with a IDE zip disk in it, a zip drive in it, which was, of course, faster. So I wanted his old zip drive for my computer, a little Pentium 1 MMX, you know, compact thing. And, so I, you know, took his old zip thing, and he said, "You can have the drive, but you got to buy your own disks." So I'm like, "Okay." And I had a little bit of money at the time, so I went and bought a pack of zip disks. And he said, "You'll never fill those up," which at the time may have been true, but you know, between you know Microsoft Works documents and you know random internet bullshit, yeah, it didn't, you know, the stuff didn't take up nearly the space it does today, but One thing I ended up doing was, this is around the time of Napster, was, of course, you know, dial-up connections at home kind of sucked, but the T1 at school, well, for called Fortress on the computer labs, computers to prevent you from doing whatever you wanted. Well, it turns out with a little bit of effort, and an old, Dad's old 486, now that I think about it, we rigged it up with a copy of the school's image decrypted and figured out where on the disk the Fortress password was stored, built a decrypting, so every time they changed the password, we just boot one of the lab machines off a boot disk, copy the Fortress password file, take it home, decrypt it on the custom-built machine that we put together just for doing this, and keeping an extra 486 for this was easier than a virtual machine at the time, believe me. Because, you know, virtual PC, this is before Microsoft bought it and turned it into Hyper-V, was not very usable on a Pentium 1. But anyways, I was taking that zip drive, and I would keep it in my backpack and run the damn parallel cable out of the backpack and the power cord out. So there's a power cord and a parallel cord going to my backpack, which I would, you know, prop kind of just right to try to hide the fact that I was hooking shit up to the computers. Run Napster off the zip disk and download music onto zip disks and on the school's network because it was so much faster than trying to do it at home on a flip and dial up AOL. Can fond memories of the zip disk, and I want to try to incorporate zip drives into some of my custom builds. Because I can, more than anything, not for any real practical reason, just kind of pure nostalgia. I mean, it's not as cyberpunk as a mini disk drive, because that has the look of like the Johnny Mnemonic and stuff like that. But trying to find MD data drives is all but impossible. Zip drives you can actually find.
But, I got a stack of mini disks, man.
Yeah, but do you have...
I got a whole stack, and I
have... ...uses data disks. HDMDs you can, unless you get an MD data drive, which uses a special set of... You know, I think the disks are special, too. Where
I would have to dig through and have a look. I've not touched it since I had the 180.
I'm betting because that's around when the format was dying, is when all that came
out.
Yeah,
I know. I got into it when the format was dying.
Oh, well, maybe then. Who knows?
The car I had at the time was Japanese import and the previous owner. And that's when I went and got one so I could play discs in the car. And it was... You can't really use a CD player in a drift car. It doesn't really work. But a mini disc player does. Yeah, fond memories of the mini disc player.
I know a guy who was super into mini discs, and his favorite part about them was that once he got tired of what was on one of the discs, he could erase it and re-record it. And it's like, that is cool.
That was great. I used to love that. High vibration environment. And you wanted to use a disc, mini disc was the way to go.
You know, it's kind of sad that all this physical format has died out, and now it's just flash drives, SD cards, and the internet. I mean,
yeah.
You know, some of this stuff it was hokey and a little bit goofy, but, you know, some of the different physical media you got in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s was pretty cool.
I don't miss that. Hey, let me just bring this over and you can get a copy of player.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, like that was a pain in the ass. But, I mean, such as the day, you know, and it wasn't really a thing.
Of course, you could try being an ass, like, you know, DPView says using a floppy disk instead of a zip disk, because that one, a lot more people are going to know what it is. And still, their computer's not going to have one. Of course, you might run into some jackhole who does. The real problem is I don't know that all the data would actually...
I don't think it would.
Yeah.
I went with the zip disk because I know that can hold something. But now you've got me interested in the mini disc player idea because I could just put one of those mini discs in my wallet. Wouldn't take up that much room either.
Well, if you've got an MD data drive... Or if you've got an HDMD drive, you can actually hook them up and just use them like a storage device on your PC.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be the joke of it, though. You know, bring the fucking parallel port zip disk with you, or zip drive. Have it in the car or something, so when they say, well, we need a way to read this, I've got a zip... Here's the zip drive I use. Pull out one with the fucking parallel port on it. What modern laptop has a parallel port, right?
I don't know any. Shit, they're even getting rid of USB ports off them.
Yeah, now it's all USB-C or nothing, especially if it's a Mac. Yeah. It's like two ports and that's it. Good luck.
Got a new slimline machine.
Jeans are nice and thin and don't weigh nothing, but then you got to have a bag full of dongles, adapters, and docking stations to actually use the fucking thing.
What she said, she can no longer club a kid to death with a computer, but she can garrote them with all the fucking cables she carries around with her.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, I've probably got 5 or 6 different little USB-C adapters that go in my bag just so I can make sure I can hook something up. Because half these machines don't even have a flippin' Ethernet port on them. Do you know what a pain in the ass it is?
I couldn't even imagine it. Like, because that's what I said, where's your Ether port? It's like, it doesn't have one. It's got like two ports.
Yeah, a couple of USB-Cs, one of them for charging. Yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous. But
well, they're also supposed to be disposable. And I knew I was going to have to rebuild the broadcast box. It looks like it restarted the recording. I might be splicing files together.
I did it and gave you the courtesy of a reach around.
Well, I just noticed that the timer on it restarted. And I don't know what's going on here because I only see the one file on the network drive. And it's not getting larger. Did we just lose the recording? Oh, no. It says 9:46. Okay, that text is just small, and I've been drinking.
All right.
Oh fuck! Did we I'm lose 10 minutes time. Of show? Last modified.
We didn't start right.
No,
on, we no, didn't start right on 9, did we?
No, we started like 10 minutes late because we were sitting here talking.
Yeah.
Okay. All no, right. We're fine. We're fine. It's
That's
going.
That's why it feels like we're 20 minutes in the show because we've been talking about computers for the last half hour.
All right. Well, let's keep that trend going. This was from Slate, and yeah, quite the scam. This is a new one though, and not in the way you're expecting. This is something else. Highly realistic deepfake videos didn't quite make the splash some feared they would during the 2020 presidential election, although cheap fake videos did, apparently. Oh, was that like where people were bitching about them slowing down Nancy Pelosi and making her sound even more drunk?
Yes.
I mean, great video. You can already play the drunk or not drunk game with most, you know, C-SPAN video. So, yep. I mean, they're all, yeah. Nevertheless, deepfake videos are causing trouble for regular people. In March, the FBI warned that it expected fraudsters to leverage synthetic content for cyber operations in the next 12 to 18 months. Are you trying to say something, Edmund?
No, I was hiccuping. But I just love that. Synthetic content, fake videos. Just yeah. Say fake videos.
You're trying to sound over until... It's like, what'd you do? Well, I watched a lot of Star Trek, and then I wrote the report. In deepfake videos, which first appeared in 2017, a computer-generated fraudsters can make the target person say or do just about anything. To get a realistic image, scammers use artificial intelligence that studies photos and videos of the person from different angles. To produce a deepfake video, it is not necessary to be a professional hacker. Many popular programs for making face swap videos are free, and it's possible to create new ones even on an iPhone. However, the high-quality content still requires a powerful... Okay. So, yeah, they're comparing the face swap apps, not Instagram. Is it WhatsApp? Is that the one that has all the video filters? As I should. I don't really want to. Most of them are just annoying.
Man.
Get off
Everyone
my lawn!
Wants to watch Hitler sing Video Killed the Radio Star.
Well, that's funny.
It was great.
That is fun. And that's just from a still picture. That's not even... It is using AI, but that's just using AI to line up movement with a still picture. Looks like something out of Poltergeist, actually. But it might be TikTok, DP. It might be TikTok. I don't remember. Whatever one my sister... As technology becomes more and more available, fraudsters have started to use it in different spheres of life. On Wednesday, the Times of India reported a new type of cybercrime in India, sex extortion using deep fake porn videos, not of the victim, but of the fraudster, at least at first. So get this. Usually a scammer, using a profile photo of a woman, almost certainly a fake one, sends a friend request to the target person on social media. The scammer then exchanges text messages with the victim to build trust and finds a computer-generated video of a woman to entice the victim to masturbate, which the scammers record and then use afterwards to blackmail the person. At least two men in the western Indian city of... I'm not going to say that right. Aminabad... reported such extortion calls to the police. One of them complained that the fraudsters demanded $3,000. The men themselves reportedly didn't realize the woman on the video was a deep fake after it was revealed by the police investigation. So it's unclear what was being blackmailed with.
If he's being blackmailed, the dude beat off. That's what he's being blackmailed with. Who the hell does that? It's like, let's get on a random video call so I can beat off.
I believe the website is called Chatterbait. DPView says Omegle. So, but you know, I could see somebody not realizing it's a deep fake if they're calling them on any of the regular video. You know, what do they do? They just imagine they're Jeffrey Toobin. And
yeah, you know, just doing a Toobin. So. You've got a dude who's tricked you into having a quick yank in front of your phone to a deep fake, then calls you up and go, hey, man, I've got a video of you jacking it to a deep fake. Give me $3,000. Why don't you just pull your dick out and start jacking it again and demand $3,000 from him? When he hangs up, call him straight back and money. Right? There's a golden opportunity for reverse the scam here. I got your phone number now, motherfucker.
Well, the
do I go to the temple very often?
You're assuming they're not into it. That's the only downside.
Am I just the only guy that thinks, just don't beat off on a video call? Don't beat off on a call.
Don't do what Tubin does. It's easy, kids. Keep your dick in your pants.
It's like, I'm going to get naked. You want to beat off? I'm like, no. Not really. I want you to get naked, and I'm going to drive to your house, and I'm going to bang you.
Exactly. That's why I don't go to strip clubs. You know, it just makes no sense.
To quote The Matrix, it's the smell.
That too. And the buffet spaghetti is terrible.
What the fuck?
Oh. You get buffet chicken wings, dude. You're going to the wrong spot.
Buffet spaghetti? Strip club Fazoli's? Actually, that would probably do pretty well.
They
think
have
about it.
Specials. And,
dude,
I
if you are going to
this.
A strip club for the breakfast specials, you need to reassess your fucking life.
Okay. Going
especially
there,
if you're
no,
taking the family.
Still there. It's the way this works, are you? You're still there for the breakfast specials.
Wow.
And she's going to be naked.
We're a sex-positive family.
Oh, God.
You don't take your family to a strip. Learn this with my brother-in-law.
Oh, did he bring his kids? Because that would make it awkward.
No, he and I were at a strip club, and it just got weird when I asked for a blowjob, and he was worried we were going to get, like, no, it's the name of a drink. Ah! I want her to give me a blowjob.
It's like, she could manage as a Hummer, dude. Don't worry about it.
Like, she knows the joke. She's heard it before. It's not that original.
Okay. Back to the article here. When the victim doesn't fall for a computer-generated video and refuses to participate in a virtual sex act, the scammers may then create a second deepfake video, making it look like the target person was engaged in a sexual act. According to the Indian Express, a resident of the deli of the Instagram appeared naked during the video call. The man ended the call as soon as he realized what was happening. Yet the fraudster still tried to blackmail him. He refused to pay up, as according to him, he didn't do anything obscene. But that didn't stop the criminals. Quote, the scammers had taken a picture of my face from the video call I had with them and then superimposed it on somebody else's body. Well, did they at least, like, size it right and color match? Because usually when you see one of these goofy videos where somebody's just slapped a still image over it, it doesn't look right at all.
Be nice and really blow up my penis. I mean, if you're going to screw me over, at least give me, I don't know, extra confidence.
URL so I can download it and watch it myself. That's hot.
It's like I'd like to do some critiquing here, some directorial commentary. Oh, you're going to need a green screen and mat that whole extra part out there. Yeah, you know, and can you clip it so the dog's not in frame? That just makes it weird. Yeah. But
I think he's watching me.
Yeah, in the video they shared, it appeared as if I'm having a sex act, the newspaper cited the victim as saying. The manipulated video was sent to his family and friends. Scammers are using deepfake videos in other ways, too. In Russia, criminals have learned how to collect personal data with this technology. On September 6th, scammers posted on social media a deepfake video featuring Oleg Tinkoff, the founder of Tinkoff Bank, which is one of the 15 largest banks in Russia. The clone of Tinkoff called on people to use the bank's investment tools, promising to give every client 50. Once users clicked the link mentioned in the video, they were taken to a fake website of the bank and asked to share their names, emails, and phone numbers. Well, that's the old fake Twitter account. Oh yeah, everybody, go click on this link and invest, and I'll, you know, Elon Musk will send you $1,000 or some bullshit, right?
Yeah,
but at least that one's I'm not gonna say believable, but I don't fault people for falling for it. The whole beat off on screen—that's a joke.
They'll be happy that I had a date, even if it was a virtual one.
They were questioning my sexuality. It's been a long dry spell.
Of course, that might be a cultural thing in India, though, to be hyper embarrassed of that no matter what. It's like if I told my parents, like, yeah, somebody's sending around fake videos of me, they'd laugh. They'd want to see them.
Now, that's disturbing. If you say someone's sending around fake videos of me in this particular compromising situation.
On a point and laugh. They would want to make fun of me with them.
I can make fun of you without seeing them.
That's a fair point.
If it goes around, I will make fun of you. I'm still not going to ask for the URL. Just saying.
And the USD fakes have also started showing up on dating apps. According to Daily Beast, in 2019, a woman from California was scammed out of about $300,000 after being led on by manipulated clips. The elaborate scheme involved two scammers, or one fraudster who would be Sean Buck, a U.S. Navy vice admiral and the superintendent of the Naval Academy. Okay, guys, if you're going to fake somebody, fake something you can't double check with a fucking Google search. The woman talked to him on Skype regularly. The second scammer posed as an American who, after months of communication, told her that he had been imprisoned overseas. The woman asked Buck to help release the prisoner, and the admiral made her transfer thousands of dollars to pay the lawyer. Later, law enforcement discovered a video of the real Admiral Buck. Oh, God, she was talking to a soundboard. Wow. Yeah, and there's more that haven't been reported, but I just some of these were just comical. It hadn't even occurred to me till I read this that they would deep fake the woman to get video of you being nasty, I guess, but it makes sense as far as scams go. I think Madman had the
Yeah, what's the point? Okay. Don't answer that question.
I'm not touching it, Madman.
We're just going to let that one hang.
Anybody else from what I'm hearing?
We're just going to let that one hang in the breeze there, buddy.
As it should. Next story. I think we've beat that to death. I mean, the only thing we could do is now start playing Beat Saber and also not record a
game. Damn it, completely lost my train of thought. Let's try that again. The next story is from Vice.com. Major NFT marketplace OpenSea admits employee did insider trading. I think this one falls under the headline, No Shit, Sherlock. An OpenSea employee bought NFTs before they were promoted on the marketplace's homepage, which angered traders and is compared to insider trading. It's probably not. That's a good point, though. I mean, I don't know that insider trading would technically apply to NFTs, would it? Because this is effectively somebody on the exchange that's being ran, taking advantage of their position on the exchange to get, you know, deals before they're, published. OpenSea.
I don't know enough about it.
Yeah. OpenSea, a major digital marketplace for NFTs, admitted on Wednesday that an employee used insider knowledge angered traders on social media as compared the incident to insider trading. The OpenSea marketplace is a main destination for NFT buyers online, with billions of dollars in value trading hands weekly. It's one place where you might buy a pixelated CryptoPunk for as much as a house in order to flex on social media, or a Bored Ape. The site works like an auction house, and items and collections are bid on by the public once they go live. Some collections are given the coveted spot of promotion on the site's homepage, a process that involves NFT creators tagging OpenSea on social media and having the submissions reviewed by staff. The trouble began on Tuesday night when a Twitter user accused OpenSea head of product Nate Cheston of abusing his position to buy NFTs in collections that are slated to be promoted on the homepage and then quickly selling them for a profit. I've scrolled through some of the exchanges, and all of the files, you can download them. Like, you know, they're pictures and audio clips and things like that. So I guess it's so you can validate the crypto of, like, this is the token of the owner of the NFT. But I have a hard time seeing the value in it, because it's not like exclusive rights to the file. I mean, anybody can go on the exchange and download it. So I guess he would buy them before they got listed on the homepage, and then when they sold on the homepage, he was making the money, not the person who originally put up the NFT. Because at that point, I guess it's kind of a commodity. I guess it's sort of like trading silver shares or gold shares, I guess. and that you're never trading the actual product, just the paper that, you know, says you own it.
Kind of. He was, to get them listed on the exchange, you have to submit them to somebody, and the person they're submitting them to was buying them and then listing them on.
It should be illegal, but I'm not certain what law it falls under, because it is abusing the position, right?
I think it's probably an abuse of just his position with the company, and that would be a company guideline he's violating. I don't know if it falls under insider trading.
I mean,
it's not a financial instrument.
Yeah, it's well, I mean, it feels like it should, but you're right. I guess it's technically not. Yeah, quote, hey, OpenSea, what has appeared at Nathan or Nate Chasten has a few secret wallets that appear to buy from your home front hype spike for profits, then tumbles them back into his main wallet with his punk on it. The user, who goes by Zuwu, wrote, and included links to blockchain records to back up the accusation. In a blog post on Wednesday, OpenSea confirmed that an employee had indeed used the page. Quote, yesterday we learned that one of our employees purchased items that they knew were set to display on our front page before they appeared there publicly, unquote, the post stated. Quote, this is incredibly disappointing. We want to be clear that this behavior does not represent our values as a team. We are taking this very seriously and conducting an immediate and thorough review of the incident so that we have a full understanding of the facts and additional steps we need to take, unquote. Did you fire the guy?
Nope.
Yeah, quote, we're conducting a very thorough review of yesterday's incident in a tweet. I mean, are you going to let somebody sue him for fraud, at least? Or, I mean, it's some kind of misrepresentation. Post-OpenSea is implementing new policies to prevent staff members from trading NFTs while they're being promoted and from using confidential information to trade NFTs.
Oh, see, they have to write it now. No one thought that this was going
to
happen.
Yeah, it's too new. Nobody had bothered to write up a policy book. It's like, you know, you can go online and get example policy books that'll have just, okay, they won't reference NFTs, but they'll have conflict of interest and, you know, abuse of insider knowledge lines in them, because it's kind of boilerplate in a lot of company policy books these days.
And this would fall just kind of like standard product. There's an employee buy something before it goes to market and then start selling it.
Oh, that'd be a twist. All the people who are trying to PlayStations, half of them are like Xbox warehouse employees. That'd be a twist. Yeah, OpenSea did not immediately respond to a request for comment seeking clarification if the employee mentioned in the blog post is indeed Christian and if he is still employed by the company. Might be surprising to many that such a large marketplace for speculative investments would not have a policy in place preventing insiders from profiting from their knowledge. Indeed, many Twitter users compared the staff members' activities to insider trading. When somebody with inside knowledge, for example, knowledge of a new product, these aren't controlled commodities, these aren't stocks. This is all independent, and most of those regulations, you know, don't apply because NFTs are not a recognized commodity as far as I know. I mean, yeah, people are treating them like that, but, you know, when it comes to the regs, but I fully admit I don't really understand NFTs. I've got to do a lot more reading on them.
I don't know anything about them.
Because I
just know it's a really weird fucking...
I mean, I get
bad.
I get what it is. It's basically applying cryptocurrency to the ownership or claimed ownership of a hash. And why
people would pay for it?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, if I go buy the NFT to an image, I don't own exclusive rights to that image. I can't prevent other people from using it. All I can do is prove that I have ownership of it. What does that, you know, within that blockchain? What does that buy me? What does that... I don't understand the value in that. Unless it's just trading on other people also not understand.
That's what it's...
Or not Furbies.
Possibly, seems, but
Beanie Babies.
Values.
Yeah, Furbies, yeah. You still have value because people buy them to hack, but Beanie Babies, I mean... I guess I could see the value in buying a collection of Beanie Babies to put small robotics in to terrorize children. But, and Halloween is coming up. You see the little army of Beanie Babies marching towards a child?
Oh, yeah.
That was a Venture Brothers episode where the guy was terrified of the dolls and somebody just walked over and kicked him all over. anyways. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. It sounds like what the guy was doing was being a scumbag. But,
the flavor of scumbag, we haven't got a policy for yet.
Yeah. That could be, and since they admit the employee was doing it, they could be opening themselves up to some kind of a flavor of a fraud lawsuit. I'd need to talk to a lawyer to understand really what kind, but it smells like it anyways, you know.
Depending on what the company does as far as disciplinary action, they might be able to just pawn it off on you can sue the employee.
Yeah. Which I think. Oh, and just because it just popped into my mind because I'm watching the file size grow with the recording, making sure it doesn't drop out on me because I got scared earlier. Yeah, the broadcast box has been kind of flaky, so I need to reinstall it, get my mixer back in. I didn't get it wired back in because the mount I wanted to put it on isn't very secure at the moment, so I, you know, got some more fixing to do. But my headset that died in the middle of the show last week. A new one. It was a Audio-Technica BSPH, I think is an acronym, you know, version 1. So I ordered the version 2 to replace it because the parts for version 1 were getting rarer and more expensive because I guess they don't make them anymore. I got 8 years out of that old headset. It's a sports broadcast headset is what it really is. I think that's, you know, the idea is that you'd use it for TV shows, but so I'm hoping to get that much out of this one. But
I'm on 7 years.
The microphone element and the drivers for the headset are still good. I think the connectors went bad in it. I think it's probably got shorts in that. So I'm probably going to tear it down and see if I can maybe 3D print a new housing and put new wiring in it and use standard connectors instead of the I mean, it's not super proprietary. I could probably rig up some JST connectors to work with that headset. But if the connector itself is going out, which is what I think's happened, there's mini jacks, right? That way I could just replace the wiring with a standard component that's easy as opposed to having to always order the custom one. So it'll be right to repair, if nothing else, because I stripped it down to components and made my own. So I'm hoping I get a good lifetime out of this one just because, you know, I got so long out of the previous one. But I've noticed with this one, there it's on ear instead of over ear. It's in between my ears and my my head. So, if nothing else, I may 3D print some bands to go around it to turn it into over ear and just put the old pads on it. Because, of course, then you might mess up the seal around it. I don't know. But, yeah, I just realized we were kind of approaching the file size of last week. I'm like, oh, yeah, we did a super show last week because my headset died. So.
Nothing important. What's the next story?
Next story is from The Verge. Static actually sent me this one. Stop and update your iPhone to iOS 14.8 now. And the reason I decided to cover this is because we were also talking about it at work, and they're going to be using MDM policies to enforce it. So, Apple has released a new suite of updates for iOS, macOS, and watchOS to fix a bug that security researchers at Citizen Lab say was very likely exploited. The researchers say the bug, and this is scary, allows for a zero-click install, meaning the target didn't have to do anything to be infected. So they just decided to target that phone, probably by phone number, wanting to bet this is one of the probably one of the SMS parsing, like the iChat parsing bugs, where they could just send something to that device, and they had a root clit on it. I mean, this is MS-0867, right? Bug that was finally patched in Service Pack 3 that if somebody was running Windows file sharing, you could take over their computer. Period.
Nice.
Madman, you remember that thing I demonstrated that made Bolt's eyes fall out of his head where I took over one computer from my netbook?
Yes.
That. That's what I'm referencing. That's what a zero-click install is. It means the end user has to do nothing. I don't have to trick you into clicking a link. I don't have to do anything. I just have to decide I want your computer and it's mine. So, yeah, that means it might have only been used by, you know, a three-letter agency or other government agencies. But once a bug like that, it gets your word that it gets out there exists, you kind of don't want to take that risk because eventually everyone's going to have it and it will be a Metasploit module or something along those lines. Meaning of the Pegasus spyware, which is reportedly capable of stealing data, passwords, activating a phone's microphone or camera, and they've got an explainer for it there. Given the severity, OS 7.6.2 as soon as you can. Now, here's the fun part about Apple. They quit updating their devices after about 5 years or so. So if you're using a legacy iPad that doesn't get updates anymore, or an old iPhone that doesn't get updates anymore, or a Mac that doesn't get updates anymore, you're hosed as far as fixing this goes. You probably shouldn't use those devices bare on the internet anymore. Just saying. But that's just how Apple does, where they stop updating things after a while. And it's not even that bad of a business decision. I get it. It is kind of a bitch to have to go back and figure out how to apply a security update to a 10-year-old computer. I mean, yeah, I understand why you want to avoid that engineering problem, but it is kind of the equivalent of, oh, no, we didn't fix the problem. We just de-scoped the system. Anybody who's been on certain conference calls in the office will understand the, no, we de-scoped it. We're about to let, you know, a little thing like their design not working, you know, impact their delivery date. Does mean by the end of it, they're delivering a fancy PowerPoint slide deck and, you know, a handful of systems that kind of do what the original ask was. Maybe if you hold your mouth right and only log in from this one specific place and do a bunch of shit in the background to make it work, and you're going to have sysops having to reboot the thing nightly. But, you know, we de-scoped the problematic system, so we didn't have to fix it. But it had been successfully used against phones running iOS 14.6, released in May. Citizen Lab also said the vulnerability, which it codenamed Forced Entry, seemed to match the behavior of an exploit Amnesty International wrote about in July. At the time, the security researchers wrote it was made possible by a bug in Apple's core graphics system. Okay, I guessed wrong. And happened when the phone tried to use a function related to GIFs after it received a text message containing a malicious file. So I was close. It wasn't the parsing of the iChat, it was profiles, but it was a Microsoft-specific format because it could have VB code in it. So all you had to do was get somebody to look at a picture. And given that the iPhone will process so it can do a preview on the lock screen, any message it gets, at worst, depending on how the phone is set up, they would just have to tap to look at the text message that you sent. Just open it. And you get to root their phone because apparently it would. However, even with that info, it could be difficult to pin down exactly what was happening without access to the infected files themselves. According to Citizen Lab, they discovered the files when reanalyzing a backup from an active attacked phone. Files appeared to be GIFs sent as SMS attachments, but were actually PSDs and PDFs. Okay. So they were renaming files and sending. I thought most parsers looked at file headers these days. That's interesting. Apple's update notes say the issue occurred when processing a maliciously crafted PDF, September 13th, and thanks Citizen Lab in a statement for completing the very difficult work of obtaining a sample of the exploit. Some of Monday's updates also fix a second security issue with WebKit for iOS and macOS Big Sur. It isn't mentioned in the release notes for Catalina. It's unclear if it's related to NSO's exploits. Its discovery is attributed to an anonymous researcher instead of Citizen Lab, and it's a different part of the system. Apple says that it may have been actively exploited. The day before an Apple event, where it's expected to announce new phones, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah. What's happening is by naming a malicious PDF.GIF, they're getting the text iMessage to process it. And in a way that it's vulnerable to, it'll run the code and install a rootkit on your fucking phone. I mean, props for creativity, but damn. Modern iOS or Mac, you need to update. And if you're not, might be careful about what files you put on it. I hate to tell you to scrap it and go buy an up-to-date one, because I was just talking about how much I enjoy playing with retro gear, but you know, maybe don't do anything important on those.
What's kind of sad with Apple's business model, with as powerful as the last couple generations of computers are, I'm not sure it would still qualify as retro to do modern things.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about it. My main desktop here, it's a first-gen Ryzen. It's about 6 years old. That's about when manufacturers stop supporting shit. Hell, Microsoft, you know, has, you know, for Windows 11, if I wanted to put it on this rig, I haven't had a problem running anything I've thrown at it. You know? And that's my main rig. I can imagine people keeping phones and tablets that just kind of work, especially if it's like a Facebook machine to them. It's what a lot of people do with iPads. It's just how they get on Facebook. You know, I'm thinking of my dad specifically. He didn't buy a new iPad until his old one's screen died. I mean, the battery was shot, so he's just using it with the cable plugged in all the time, but actually discolored and made parts of it unreadable that he finally gave in and bought a new one.
Yeah. My view on what constitutes legacy hardware is, will it do modern gaming or modern video? But if the internet still works on it? Like, when I think legacy, I think Xbox One. And I guess even if I tried, it might still run.
No, PlayStation 1. I don't really think about the Xbox One because we made that thing do a lot of stuff it shouldn't. But, you know, if your definition is can it connect to the internet, I can get a Commodore 64 on the internet, sir.
Yeah, but your definition of the internet and mine might be different.
Yeah, it's not exactly going to play a YouTube video now, is it?
Like, it's on the internet, Morps. It's command line. It's not. I'm not even sure this counts as loading the page, does it?
Do you know how much I've got to do on the command line, sir? It's like, no, you do your job in PowerPoint and WebEx. It's like, damn it. It's true. It's like, I haven't had to open a Linux command line in at least 4 days. I'm
The withdrawal symptoms will eventually go away. Don't feel too bad.
It's like, what's the picture that goes around, you know, a Gentoo or Arch, and it's the guy with the neck veins, you know, bulging. Facebook story. You guys want to do the Facebook story? Do you want to keep beating up Apple?
Let's move on to beating up Facebook.
All right. This is from the BBC. Facebook under fire over secret teen research. There's a headline.
Next question. How secret was it? Because I'm fairly certain lots.
It's internal research into the effects social media has had on teenage users. This is bad. According to Wall Street Journal, its studies showed that teenagers blamed Instagram for increased levels of anxiety and depression. Campaign groups and MPs have said it is proof the company put its profits first. Instagram said the research showed its commitment to understanding complex and difficult issues. A Wall Street Journal's report, not disputed by Facebook, finds that a 2019 presentation... I mean, damn! I mean, this is in somebody's fucking PowerPoint deck they're presenting at Facebook Corporate, right? Another slide said teenagers blame Instagram for increased levels of anxiety and depression. 2020 research found 32% of teenage girls surveyed said they felt bad about their bodies. Instagram made them feel worse. Some 13% of UK teenagers and 6% of US users surveyed traced a desire to kill themselves to Instagram. Instagram conducted multiple focus groups, online surveys, and diary studies over a number of years. In 2021, it conducted a large share of research of tens of thousands of people that paired user reports with its own data about time spent on Instagram and what was viewed. In response to the Wall Street Journal report, Instagram published a lengthy blog post defending its research. The Wall Street Journal story focused on a limited set of findings and cast them in a negative light, it said, but the issue is far more complex. Quote, "We've done extensive work around bullying, suicide, Instagram, a safe and supportive place for everyone," unquote, the company said in a blog post. Thank you, marketing department. Quote, "Based on our research and feedback from experts, we've developed features so that people can protect themselves from bullying, giving everyone the option to hide like counts, and we've continued to connect." Okay, stop. That's not why Instagram is hurting people. It's not because you're seeing like counts. It's because you are looking at somebody's doctored, perfect presentation of this, you know, amazing, these kids are comparing it to theirs and very much feeling the Bender quote. They're looking at these, you know, the beautiful people on Instagram, despite how much Photoshop, green screen, and, you know, sneaking onto rich people's properties to take pictures they're doing, thinking, oh my God, this is how people are supposed to live. Then they look at themselves and, you know, upper middle class suburbia going, I don't have a mansion. I should kill myself because it has nothing to do with the like counts. It's the fact that they're looking at a highly, highly managed presentation and thinking, my life isn't that. I must be shit. And they understand how fake everything everywhere is. I mean, people get paid to Photoshop Instagram photos, for God's sake.
Yeah, and with this being body image, here's one thing that people will notice. The hot chicks get more likes. So there's the average yet airbrushed super hot chick wondering why so-and-so looks better than them. And it's that so-and-so's probably fake.
Never, you
know, aren't real, chick.
Yeah, you know, between cosmetic surgery, Photoshop, and all the other tricks, fitness tricks you can do so that you take all these, you know, go read up on photography sometime. It's amazing what you'll do, you know, like for a day of photo shoots. Like most of the times, you know, these models you see photos of, the way they got that look was by not eating for 3 days before a photo shoot.
And an $8,000 makeup.
And then somebody airbrushing the fuck out of it in Photoshop, yes.
Bill Head Scratcher, for all you guys out there into the psychology, go look at the percentage of, say, girls who had anorexia in the year 2000 and then compare it to today. But then, just those who are transitioning.
Oh, yeah.
Then, if you really want a head scratcher, overlay the cutters from the year 2000 on that as well.
Women are highly susceptible to social
It's not
contagion.
Just the common...
And they also have a disproportionate view of how many people look like that. Because the tens get all of the attention because they're tens. But the average chick isn't a 10. The average chick is a 5. 5 is the average. You're not ugly. You're good.
Not every man is 6'3" and ripped. You can't be blessed like myself. You know, that's not my problem.
Yep, he has 6 feet and he's ripped
exactly.
In half.
Those might not all be feet from the same person. We just kind of collected from around the room.
There's not much else to reading the article. It's people criticizing Facebook and Instagram for putting profit over people, which they're a publicly traded company. They're required by law to put profit over people.
This is not a new phenomenon. We're just seeing mental illness.
Numbers of how badly they're hurting kids and... I mean, you know.
We do have some limits to the profit over people mentality. There are liability laws in place.
Well, this comes back to people need to know what your kids are looking at online. And, you know, maybe if you're a parent having some involvement in your kid's life, if you think they're feeling bad because they don't look like a supermodel, maybe explain to them what photo...
The internet.
Yeah.
I don't think...
Just have a frank discussion. No matter how much Photoshop I do for you, you're not going to look that good. There are limits to Photoshop.
This is why we have... This is why you need to take with you on these dates, Chef's Happy Phone... Okay, this is getting dark.
I mean, dude, there's... If you look at the numbers, mental illness has stayed roughly the same. It's just now they're brought up on stage and they're being told they're... But, I mean... Well, we've taken a dark turn for teenage mental health, man.
Well, like, but you think about
it, used to be you would get counseling for those who are cutting themselves, those who are anorexic, things like that. But now, because they're wanting to transition, they're still cutting themselves, they're still manipulating their bodies. But we're just going, oh, you are fucking so brave. You are so brave. And then we're watching the suicide rate of these kids go up over 50% now. Oh.
I thought I had a point, then you went in a different direction, and I'm just stopped. It's like...
I saw that, and I'm like, you're pearl-clutching over this? Really?
No, not really.
No, not you personally. I mean the media. It's like, oh my God, Instagram, bad for kids. No, applauding someone for cutting their cock off is bad for kids. Like,
here's one thing that I think would help. Actually force people to register their social media. I know it's going to sound bad. It's locked to you. And that may wean enough people off of this shit that we can start building a society again.
It will never do that, Madman, because it'll hurt their bottom line too much. You got to get the kids when they're young, man. Get them in there, tell them that they're not a boy or a girl. They're a fucking asexual, polyfluid fucking baboon for all I give a fuck. And then when they do something incredibly stupid that they can never take back, we're going to stand there and tell them they're fucking stunning and brave. Can't stand it anymore.
Oh, don't worry. Mr. Money's research proved that that's not going to happen.
We just went down a dark mental illness, man.
I mean, we just went down a dark path with this story.
Well, it's
didn't
a dark fucking story. Like the way that
I need to make a note to pick a happy story to slip into these things because it's all been shit all night tonight.
But it is all shit out there, and that's why you gotta carve yourself out a nice little fucking place of your own. You know what I mean?
Oh that's well, I don't think that you know. Okay, here's a fun suggestion. If you're under the age of 18, you're not allowed to have a computer greater than 8 bits.
Hey, I could get down with that.
Commodore 64, Apple II, Atari. We'll be nice. We'll go 16-bit. You can have an Amiga. But you're not getting on the fucking internet and actually manage this, you know, this stuff a little bit. Okay, no. 8-bit computer until you're 18, and until you're 25, 16-bit computer. No, I'm not mirroring how I grew up. Why? I think it works great.
All you're doing is implementing what most licenses for motorcycles are all about. First couple of years of you having your motorcycle up to 250cc.
And then you graduate. You have a license.
My first motorcycle was an 1100cc Honda Shadow.
Okay, then it doesn't apply in America.
In the parking lot of a Toys R Us the day I bought it. So I was able to purchase it. I had a license that let me drive it before I'd ever been on a bike. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
Here we have a graduated system and it's vehicles too. If you, when you get your provisional, once you're done your provisional stuff and you got your license, for the first, I think it's 3 or 4 years, you can't have anything more powerful than a straight six. I may have to check that law. It could have changed, but you can't have a V8. I know that. And that one of the big reasons why I got into rotaries, because
I think that's kind of a dumb law, because I know some straight sixes that properly tuned and beefed up, you Mad can Man. Outrun a Corvette at the quarter mile.
But what it does, it keeps the uninitiated out of it keeps that out of the hands of the uninitiated. Yes, my first four cylinder also had nitrous oxide and bored out and custom made. Yes, it was faster than what you're meant to have, but that's the idea. So the same dude. And then I didn't want to do fucking 2 years with a straight six. So I fucking went rotaries. Like, because you can make them go 8 seconds and they're still classed as a four cylinder. So I can't really do that with computers, can you, Morps? Unless you like a Commodore 64, rip all the guts out and replace it with modern hardware.
I mean,
that's essentially what we did to these old cars.
You can, actually.
The government went, you can't do that. So we went, well, there's no law about pulling this out, putting that in.
You can,
it's still
you
that can, car.
You could yank a C64 case. You could take a C64 case, yank the main board out of it, use an Arduino to read the keyboard and the joystick ports, and use a Raspi to emulate whatever the hell you want. There's no modern 8-bit or 16-bit systems that aren't just hobby computers that somebody's putting together. So in reality, the way you would do it is you would put some kind of artificial limit on processing power where, you know, if you're under 18, you have to have a certain machine kind of thing. But there's no real good way to do that.
This is where your limited hardware idea falls down.
Well, it does. It's more of one of these things that I think it's funny. Yeah.
I think it's more of a mental societal shift we need to take.
Have you looked at what China's done?
They're flat out banning kids from video games.
The network is being serious. And I hate that it's being done at the governmental level. I think we should be doing it at a societal level. As in, parents just do this. Schools push this. But you don't need a law for it. But I don't know if we'll do it without the law. And I think their goals are admirable. I just don't know if I like the methodology.
Well, okay, I'm going to say this. When I was growing up until high school, my parents knew everything I was doing on the computers. They may not have understood what I was doing, but they at least would look at it. Because I figured out that they were opening up my computer and looking to see what I was doing.
Was your computer in the family room? Because I remember initially, until I bought one with my own money from a job that I had, the computer was in the living room, even if I was the only one that used it.
Yeah, I didn't have my own computer until right before I started high school. That went in my room. Until that, it was the shared one in the family room. And that computer, I figured out that, yeah, I think it was my dad was occasionally opening up to see what I was doing on it. Because he asked me one day what Nesticle was. And I had to explain that was a Nintendo emulator. And he said, what? It lets me play Nintendo games on the computer. And then he was very confused. And so I showed him playing Zelda on a Pentium 1 MMX compact computer. This is the same one that had the zip drive on it that we were talking about at the beginning. So they knew, for the most part, what I was doing on the computer. They might not have understood it. And I kind of think, until you hit a certain point, that's what needs to happen.
Parents need to raise their children.
I guess that's what I'm saying. Just in a very specific, I don't know where to go from this. There's no out, because there's no real fix other than just telling people to be responsible, and we know how well that works. So,
I can think of some fixes if we want to empower things. Like I said, make a regulation where to be on social media, you have to link it to your actual ID, and then put the age of you have to be 18.
Well, since social media has effectively replaced the Common Square, the commons, as far as, you know, exchange of ideas goes, Does that mean that you are putting an age cap on freedom of expression?
No. In the common square, you know what children did? They shut the fuck up and listened to the adults. So you no, you go to a town meeting. That was the common square forever. Or the local bar where you had to be of drinking age to join the town square. Children, shut the fuck up and listen. This whole wisdom of the youth and...
Oh, no, I'm not saying there was any wisdom there.
No. Children are fucking morons. They need to be educated.
So we need to...
get educated from your elders.
So I'm saying, what I'm asking is, do we codify it into law that the First Amendment doesn't apply to you till you're 18? You are the property of your fucking parents until you come of age. I'm not opposed to that. I'm just saying, are we going to codify that?
That's why you can't enter into a contract. Parents can tell their children to shut the fuck up. Kids aren't people. They're learning to be people. If we do a good job, they'll be a decent person eventually. Children are grubbing little monsters that eat and shit. And sometimes say something funny.
Oh, I have nothing. I have nowhere to go from that. That's awesome. It's amazing. Let's do the last story. The last story is from the BBC. You sent me this one. Sir Clive Sinclair, computing pioneer, died at age 81. So, for anybody who's not aware, in the States, you very well may not be aware. One of the classic retro computers were the Sinclair line of computers. These were Z80-based machines, mostly popular in Britain. You had the ZX80, the ZX81, and the ZX Spectrum. So those were very popular in Europe, Britain mainly. There's a few attempts at getting them released over here. Timex licensed them, tried to release a couple of Timex Sinclair machines. I've got one in the pile of retro computers that I'm going to do something with at some point. I think it's a ZX80. ZX80, ZX81, I don't remember. It's a Timex Sinclair 1000. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but it's going to involve rewiring the ports because it uses the same port for the video as it does for the power, and they're right fucking next to each other. Who the hell thought that was a good idea? But the thing with Sinclair was that he tried to make computers affordable. The ZX80 and the 81 were cheap. It was like the equivalent of $50 for a ZX80 kit. And I think the upgrade, you know, the ZX81 was a ZX80 with an upgraded ROM and a better keyboard, basically. And I think they'd consolidated it down to use a jungle chip instead of a bunch of discrete logic to make them cheaper to produce. But yeah, his goal was selling computers that were usable. They weren't fantastic. They didn't even have a video chip. They were using the CPU to generate video. But they were cheap. And then the Spectrum is apparently how a ton of developers got started. Linus Torvalds included, by the way, from what I understand. So, but yeah, a lot of prominent game developers got their start on the ZX Spectrum because they could develop games on it in their bedroom, right? So it was kind of the start of homebrew computer culture. You know, that wasn't where you had to solder boards together. So, anyways, inventor Sir Clive Sinclair, who popularized and invented the pocket calculator, has died at his home in London at age 81. His daughter, Berlinda Sinclair, said he passed away Thursday morning after having cancer for more than a decade. Aww. Sir Clive's products included the ZX series of computers and his ill-fated C5 electric vehicle. He was still working on his inventions last week because that was what he loved doing, said Miss Sinclair. He was inventive and imaginative, and for him it was exciting and adventure. It was his passion, she added. His ZX Spectrum computers brought affordable personal computers computing to the masses, selling in the millions across the world. However, in a BBC interview in 2013, Sir Clive revealed he did not, at the time, use computers himself. I don't like distraction, he explained. If I had a computer, I'd start thinking I could change this and that, and I don't want to. My wife very kindly looks after that for me. So he wouldn't use his own damn computers. That's funny. Unlike the ZX Spectrum, his attempts to launch an electric vehicle were not successful. The C5 launched in 1985, and buyers were disappointed with its limited range. I just got kicked out of the IRC. NetSplit or something going on, I guess. Or I just lost internet.
Still good on this end.
All right, so... the C5 launched in 1985. Buyers were disappointed with its limited range, slow speed, and inability to climb hills. Okay.
And the fact that if you got hit by any other vehicle, you're a dead man.
The inability to hot climb hills is a little worrying. That caused Sir Clive severe financial problems. His daughter said, "I think sometimes he was a bit too early with his inventions. He was very good at imagining things that people might like or might need, even though they didn't know they wanted them themselves." He was a devoted father and grandfather who will be missed by her children, Samuel, Henry, and Florence, Miss Sinclair said. They were very close to him and cared for him in the last few years. She said, "Sir Clive leaves 3 children, 5 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren." So... I mean, you know, good on the dude. He was trying up until the end.
I mean, he invented something that, you know, people wanted. They enjoyed it. And unlike some of the legacy companies that are still around today, he didn't go evil. You know what I mean?
Well,
he still kept trying to make better stuff.
He sold off his computer brand to another company and then moved on to start inventing other things. So yeah, rather than dwelling on it, he did. He kept trying to invent and kept trying to spin up new companies.
Yeah, I got to tip my hat to a man like that.
Oh yeah. And you know, I wonder about that since, you know, he sold off his computing companies, if that's not the right thing to do, because, you know, I've told you guys about it offline. I say offline, off show would probably be a better way to put it, where I've been, you know, reading this book about the history of electricity. And it's basically once the financiers and the bankers got involved, the people who actually invented everything that had to do with modern, you know, electrical systems and lighting and all that were basically forced out of the companies they started by the financial guys.
Yeah. And once they get in, man, they're vultures.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. It's like if you're an inventor and you're starting companies, that's maybe that's the way to go. Get the company started, and when the bankers start showing up, just sell it to them right out, take your money, and run. Will you get as rich as you could if you stayed on being the CEO like a Zuckerberg or those guys? No, maybe not. But, you know, does anybody do you really want to be a Mark Zuckerberg?
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Dude's got fucking money. But, I mean, look at the man. He does not look like a happy person.
Dude, look at fucking CEO of Twitter. He looks like he's been hiding in a Taliban cave for the last 20 years.
The worst part is, that's probably a Taliban cave he built in his own basement to hide in.
Yeah. I mean, they're fucking weird people, man. Like, very weird.
You also look at it this way. The skill set to invent something isn't always the same skill set to run a business.
Often it's not at
that's
all.
That's true, Madman. Yeah.
It's often two completely different. I always know that if I was going to start a business, I'd need to bring in somebody else to run it because I would not do it correctly. I know that.
You'd over micromanage it, man.
Well, that would be part of the problem. The other part of the problem is I would probably succumb to the tech hipsterism of wanting to play with every new piece of technology that comes out rather than focus on what makes money.
You'd need a partner to say no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I have been told, in a separate conversation, I have been told I should not be left to my own devices. So
yeah.
Not only to say no, but like, this is the project we're working on. I don't care that you found 172 Commodore 64s in a storage building left unlocked. We're not making a new heating system. We have a product to get to market.
Yeah, but how amazing would it be to see the array of Commodores?
I mean, it's not a flattering description, but it is a compliment in a way, even though it might be backhanded. But a bit like that episode where Rick Sanchez just is all out, no one says no to him. That's how I imagine you at the end stage with money, Morps. You know what I mean?
The one
it's
with
not
the weasels?
It's not enough to have one lot of GoBots. I'm going to have all the GoBots. And I'm going to have an own, you know, just crazy fucking ideas.
Well, I'm at, if you're going to make the Rick and Morty references, I'm thinking of the one where he was going against the devil and started a competing shop removing curses. As soon as he won, he burned the place to the ground because he was bored. And that's, yeah, I mean, you know, I'd probably do that too.
You don't, you've never thought you've won though. That's your problem, Morps. That's your problem and your greatest strength. You never know when you've won. Because there's always a better way to do it.
Well, that's true.
Look at the show box. That thing's had more attention than my wife in the last 10 years.
Well, it's getting reformatted again. So it's like, I don't know how often you reformat and install Ubuntu on your wife, but
that's what we're calling it now.
As often as I can. And that's not nearly enough. Especially for a machine that old.
Oh,
Rocket what's snacks. Next?
For Digital Dojo tonight, I've got an interesting one. It's called Cryptomator. And the thing is, when you look at the website, the first thing you think is, oh God, Web 2.0 marketing, it's all single page. Somebody paid some consultancy to put this shit together, right? But, you know, it's kind of got some ideas from TrueCrypt in that you're giving it a password. It's doing the complex AES and the BitKey link behind that password, so it's not too hard to manage. And the intention is to create encrypted virtual drives and then be able to use them on, like, Dropbox or Google Drive or OneDrive. It's doing the encryption locally before things go up to the cloud, which is a good idea. And, of course, the website, you know, screams, you know, marketing agency, right? But here's the thing, and the reason I'm recommending it, it's open source. They have a GitHub page, and you can download the source code and look at the Java. And they've actually got several reports where people have audited the thing and said it's good. So, cool. You know, despite the fact that somebody hired a marketing agency to make their landing page, and it looks very Web 2.0-y, created with love, and all that other bullshit you see on, you know, modern software as a service bullshit. It's actually an open source one, and they've got some interesting names behind it. And all the reviews of it I've found are actually pretty positive. I haven't had a chance to play with it myself. I meant to do that, but work's been stupid. So... the stupid is spreading, and I don't know what to do.
Put the makeup on and join in.
It's like, sir, you dropped your clown nose. Oh, thank you. But I mean, it's just... I should not be explaining basics of how to do networking to network engineers. I'm not a network engineer. I'm a security guy. Come on. I shouldn't have to explain to you how DNS works and the fact that Windows, by default, caches its DNS for an absurdly long period of time. Your networking guys should know this. Oh, no, we don't cache DNS.
On demand for $45,000 a year, I'll come solve your problems. I'm just going to need a kitten, a turtle, and a blender.
One guy in the back, fucking do it! I would be the asshole in the back
and
saying,
that's
fucking
the new
do
manager.
It. That'd be me in the back saying, if you're going to do it, just do it. I don't care about the damn turtle.
Congratulations, your team leader. Come up here.
Damn it, not again. That's all I've got. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Beer decking every Thursday. Alcoholism immediately after. But that's okay because you know how it works. We stop the show on Thursday. I wake up Friday morning and realize I still have more whiskey. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, the IRC when it lets you stay connected. In the IRC tonight, CyberLard, Psychros, Madman, myself, and DPView. Madman, closing thoughts.
I would say it's sad the old man died, but he was old. It happens.
That's true.
Oh, the Sinclair guy.
Yeah, he lived a good life. Kudos.
Yeah. Him and, but yeah, not fair losing Norm MacDonald and him in the same week. But such is the way the dumpster fire goes.
Yep. RU, do you have any closing thoughts?
No, that's about it, man.
All right. I'm going to hit some buttons on the soundboard and close us out. What are we at? Just a little, yeah, hour and 15. Not bad, not bad. Making up time for...
And next week, the guest appearance will be Mulps' chair with a rendition from its people.
Hey, okay. So I got a new chair and a new headset. And both of which needed to happen. So the new chair does not squeak like the old one did, although I have managed to get a squeak out of it once or twice. But I actually bought one of the Secret Lab chairs. I spent way too much money on it, but as much as my butt is in the thing, I figured I might as well get a good one. So anyways. And they had a fat ass edition, so you know, hey, there's that. Fat ass edition with the Batman logo on it, so there you can figure out what chair I ordered. Do we have anything else, or is it sound effect time?
Sound effect time.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
No doubt, and call tonight.
Emergency! Emergency! Emergency!
Wait, what?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Shut up, Wesley.